goes out to Adam in Minnesota. He's a friend of Andrew. He likes this. This is a Freedom Fiends broadcasting from somewhere. I don't have the thingamabop up here because I don't know what's working. But anyway, we alter your locus aurelius with rejuvenative radio waves, warming your brain to a toasty and crunchy 365 days a year to keep a sin flood of statism out. Can you feel it? Is it working? Randy, Knight, and Adam listening in Minnesota.
It's working, even though you missed a word or two there. It's kept it out of my head, and the statism. It's always I drive it out of my head before I even sit down to the microphone when I'm on the Freedom Fiends.
Well, our fellow co-host Shane has been diligent enough to memorize both the first and second hour intros, and I have been diligent enough to not memorize them.
Now, so, Shane is not our fellow co-host tonight, though.
No, not tonight.
Okay. Tonight, our fellow co-host is Knight.
Yeah, tonight is Knight.
Yes, sir.
Knight tonight.
Would you stop with that sir stuff?
I'm sorry.
Boy, I'm just going to have to.
You want to get sent to bed without dinner? My God, these punk kids and their excessively good manners and stuff. So, anyway... So, Randy, you are, you've gone from, you're no longer Randy England Esquire, you're Randy England Fiends House Counsel Emeritus.
Emeritus, yes. I can't really be the Freedom Fiends in-house unpaid legal counsel because I have retired from the practice of law. And so, I... The honorific that you gave me there, the in-house counsel emeritus, is undeserved, but at least wouldn't get me in trouble with the Missouri bar. Now, actually, technically, I shouldn't say that. My license doesn't come due again. Like, what you have to pay them money every year. Mm-hmm. And it actually, I don't owe them money again till next January, so... Technically, they would not get after me if I said that I was a lawyer, but I'm not one because I'm not doing it anymore. So I'm done with it. I quit. I quit the last day of June, on the 29th of June. I had my last federal case. I walked out of the courthouse, and it was so weird, you know, to do that and go, "Wow, I'm done." And I almost start, you know, and I was thinking, you know, I feel like I did when I was a kid, and it was the last day of school. But in 3 months, it doesn't start again. So I guess it's even better than that. Yeah. So that's, you know, the only thing. I'm still trying to get used to it, that I don't... not doing the job every day. I have no clients of any kind, and I kind of went out slowly. I didn't call up my clients and say you need to get a new lawyer because I'm quitting on a certain date. I just waited. I kind of made it so that it would end sometime this year. Kind of had a drop dead date for the end of the year, but as it turned out, I finished up the last one on last day of June, I guess, and just walked out on it. So that's it. So, you know, my opinions will be worth no more than what you pay for them, which is nothing, and which has always been the same, but mine will be just the same as anybody else's now. It's fine with me.
So you're not going to maintain your license just in case?
Nope.
Nope,
I'm not going to. No, yeah, that was a good one, Lou. No, I'm not going to. I'm finished. One of the reasons I waited until I was 35 before I went to law school was because I knew I didn't want to do the same thing forever. And you know, I started law school. It's 30 years ago, like right now, and 30 years in law is plenty. plenty for anybody.
I guess
some people can't. Some people can't stand that much, but I somehow got to this point without being, you know, it wasn't bad. I was a prosecutor for quite a while, and that became, unfulfilling, shall we say. And then I went into private practice for 10 years. And when you can pick your clients and not handle any kind of work that you don't like doing, you know, I hated and despised. I couldn't stand family law because you're always dealing with these otherwise nice people, you know, who are probably perfectly fine to be at a barbecue and have a drink with, except most of them are statists, of course. But who isn't, you know, walking down the street? But you get to work closely with them in the worst days of their lives. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's really nasty work. And this is coming from a criminal lawyer, because some people think that maybe dealing with criminals every day is nasty. No, criminals are much nicer to deal with than, warring couples. Wow. I mean, I feel really bad, you know, anyway, that's in the middle of that situation. But sorry, I don't want to be involved in it with you, you know, no way. So I just didn't do that stuff. I just stayed with my criminals, and we were happy.
What do you mean you stayed with your criminals? I thought you quit being a prosecutor.
Well, when I was a lawyer, I stayed with my criminals. I didn't do anything except criminal law.
You stayed with your defendants.
Well, I meant criminal law, you know. You're right.
Okay.
You're right.
Don't call them criminals.
Now, mostly they ended up being defined as criminals, because most people that get charged end up being convicted in some way or another. Even if you get them a really good deal, you don't always get rid of a case. Prosecutors are not stupid enough to file cases that they're going to get slapped back in their face over and over again. Even prosecutors can learn, and they do. They don't like being slapped around by defense attorneys, embarrassing them. So they look at a case, and if they think they're going to get thrown in their face, the smart ones just won't file it. Yes.
Okay. Well, yep. Now, do you have any questions for Randy, since it's career day on the Freedom Fiends for high school kids?
overall, did you enjoy it? Like, was everything you hope to accomplish worth it?
No, it wasn't that kind of a passion job that I just wanted to do so badly all my life, and I finally got there, and it was the dream of a lifetime. It wasn't that kind of job. It was the kind of job that you go, hey, this is okay, I don't mind doing it, and that was it. You know, if I had loved it that much, I don't know if I would have quit. Now, and so I think
so. 30 years
kind of
ago, there was an opening. The law association or the bar was hiring the lawyers, and he applied. He got the job, and he just wound up hanging out all that time because he didn't find anything better to do.
They're always hiring. You know, I mean, they'll let you spend all this money to go to 3 years of law school, and they also are doing all their background stuff. They do the fingerprints and everything, and at the end of the time, when you finish law school, you get your diploma, and then they go, okay, now that all your time and money has been spent on law school, now we're going to tell you whether you can be a lawyer or not. And I had classmates of mine that they didn't even get to take the bar exam. The bar notified them that they were unfit to be an attorney, and they didn't even get to sit for the bar exam. They were just out the door after 3 years of law school.
And why were they unfit?
Well, one person I remember really well, because I knew him, he had things that wouldn't disqualify you if that was all you had. Like, no one would be disqualified just simply because they'd been divorced. No one would be disqualified for having been divorced twice. But apparently you could be disqualified if you had been divorced three times, had gone through three or four personal bankruptcies, and had spent the last, I don't know how many, 15 years of your life filing multiple lawsuits against anybody you could find, just as a I don't mean as a lawyer, I mean just as a civilian, spent your whole life just suing people. And they put all this stuff together and said, no, we're not going to inflict you on the law, legal consuming public. And they wouldn't let the guy in.
So what you're saying is somebody with the track record that you just described is completely unsuitable to be an attorney and to be part of the Bar Association, but it's perfectly fine for that person to become the Republican nominee and eventually elected president of the United States.
Well, I don't know anything in the Constitution that would prohibit that. And they did point out that just because you had, you know, some of the things that he had, it was only because this guy was just a walking or rolling disaster, I guess, and that everything horrible happened around him and with everyone who ever came into contact with him, that he couldn't be a lawyer. Hmm. And
but he could be president.
I get it. Well, yeah. Well, that's kind of... Well, he wasn't a billionaire, so that may make a difference.
He's out. He's excluded.
Yeah, it might make a difference in that. You know. One thing you gotta nobody has to worry about retirement age sneaking up on you. I mean, you see all stuff in the news about whether you can retire, and the people saying X percentage of people say they'll never retire, and they're retired age 70 and that. When you turn about 64 and a half, or a little before that, you start getting bombarded. They bombard you with Medicare stuff, because for some weird reason, you have to sign up for Medicare when you turn 65. And they keep sending you this stuff, and there's all the threats in there that if you don't sign up and start sending the money, they're going to penalize you. You'll be sorry for the rest of your life and all of this. It's kind of intimidating.
Meow. We will be back with old people stories.
Old people stories.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Freedom Fiends. So anyway, Randy recently retired from the legal field, so he's no longer the legal eagle. So now that you're dealing with old people stuff of Social Security, Medicare, and all that other fun stuff, tell us, what's going on with that? How's it working out for you?
Well,
what sort of threats are you getting from the government?
Well, the threats I was getting was mainly that I had to sign up for Medicare. Actually, they do have an exception for you if you're still on a spouse's insurance, medical insurance, health insurance. You don't have to start paying for your Medicare until you go off of that. So, I was kind of able to shove that off and not get the Medicare. So I've kind of avoided that. And I'm not taking Social Security at this point. But, Social Security, everybody knows about the Ponzi scheme of Social Security, right?
A true Ponzi scheme is voluntary. Social Security is not.
Well, Yeah, but the fact that Social Security is not voluntary makes it a better Ponzi scheme. Because one of the biggest weaknesses of a Ponzi scheme is that as soon as the word leaks out to the public that this thing may not be as great as it seemed, people stop signing up. But that can't happen with Social Security. So it's a better Ponzi scheme than Ponzi's original scheme. Was the first guy that did it really named Ponzi? I don't know.
Yes.
Okay, well, good. But anyway, the scheme now, and another thing you hear about, you know, people badmouth Social Security a lot. I do too. You know, they say there is no Social Security Trust Fund. Well, there really is a Social Security Trust Fund. But, and I think up until, about 2009, I think from like around 1980 or something, for like 20 years maybe, or more, 30 years maybe, it actually had a surplus. More was going in than was going out, all due to, you know, the greatest generation, the baby boomers, my generation, because not because we worked hard or made a lot of money or paid a whole lot, but because there were so blessed many of us that we were paying in and paying, you know, Social Security to the greatest generation. So actually a bunch of the money, I think it was about, I don't know how much they got in there, several trillion dollars extra, that was paid in by my generation, I guess, and which is now being drained, of course, because there's no surplus anymore. It's going down. And I don't know when it's going to go broke, but sooner or later, you know, it will. I'm not sure what they're going to do, and I don't know what I'm going to do except, you know, trying to work it out so that I don't depend on that. Just the same thing you guys are probably thinking you're going to need to do is find another way.
Always.
You know, the best I could hope for, well, the best I could hope for is that the federal government would collapse and nobody would have to pay to them anything and I wouldn't have to worry about it. But that aside, which would be glorious, is that I can save. Say, I'll take the Social Security when time comes. I'm going to take it, and if I can save it, and then I can, when I die, I'll give it back to the people that paid it, which happened to be my own children. And, you know, there should be some rough justice there. I mean, we're still stealing from them. I mean, it's robbery, and the money's taken at gunpoint, if necessary. But if you can make restitution, I'll feel a little better about it, even if when I'm in my grave.
How are you going to leave your Social Security to your kids?
Well, I first of all, I've saved money, and I have a pension that is. Doesn't need public funding, and you know, hopefully I'll be able to do that and save it. I'm going to try and do that. I really am.
Okay. Here's the thing about Social Security. It's not like an actual annuity. It's not like an actual insurance program like it's advertised to be. Mm-hmm. So it's not actually willable. If you were to pass away before your wife goes and she was drawing Social Security too, then she would get the greater of the two amounts. So it's just a big mess. We'll talk more about it when we come back from this trip.
Sure.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Ever struggle for the right thing to say at a party? Want something to break the ice? Get the free Freedom Fiends Android app, Pocket Alibi. Pocket Alibi will help you have things to say. It'll replace verbal communication when you're not speaking with somebody.
I value your input.
It'll make you the hit of any party.
Not my circus, not my monkeys.
Will it work?
Not a guarantee.
It's a great icebreaker, too. Comes loaded with hundreds of original funny sayings with great voices and great recording quality. It's arranged into 7 categories. Disclaimers.
You should never do the thing I'm talking about.
Excuses.
I'm sorry, sir. An older girl told me to do it.
Advice. Fun too.
Get off me, kitty.
Libertarian pickup lines.
Hey, baby, hold my camera while I yell at this meter maid.
State speech is hate speech.
Bark for the state.
Get Pocket Alibi today on Google Play for free. Again, search for Pocket Alibi. That's Pocket Alibi, A-L-I-B-I.
Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi.
Does this app make me look fat?
Freedom Fiends, and we are back.
We are back. Salute.
I'm joined by Knight and Randy, and we're interviewing Randy about what it's like to be really old and on Social Security and Medicare. And no, you're not really that old.
Hey, Luke, speak up a little bit.
You see now, you can't remember my name. So,
anyway. And I can't hear you either. All right, so go ahead. I call Luke. If anyone hears me call Luke, I apologize to Lou for getting his name wrong, and I apologize to my son Luke for using his name. There must be some phenomenon or something they call that mental thing where you go through a list of names until you hit the right one. And it isn't just limited to retired people, I don't think. And as you pointed out earlier, Knight has been calling you and I sir, since we got on here at the beginning of the hour. So he's got a problem with that. It's kind of like misplaced respect for authority or something. Could that be it?
Yeah, I don't know.
What would your brother
what's
say,
your problem?
Knight?
What's your problem, Knight? What's the matter with you?
I was just taught to be respectful, man.
Go ahead and say it.
To be respectful.
To what? Your elders? Is that what this
to
is?
To old people?
To old people.
Is that what you're taught? You're calling us old?
No, it's to everyone.
Okay, Nima is your brother, right?
Yes.
Do you call him sir?
Sometimes.
Okay. Well, he probably likes it. Because everyone likes it when their little brother is submissive. You come in with your head bowed down and your arms out to the side.
So anyway, Social Security.
Social Security. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's not a scam so far. People are getting their money, so far. It's when the music stops and there's no chair. Well, yeah, we could be getting more back. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Well, here's the thing, though. Okay, if I were to die today, unmarried, no minor children, every penny that I have paid into, meaning forcefully had taken from me, would be gone. I can leave.
Thank
it,
you.
I
thank
I
you for your service,
charity. Yeah, I couldn't leave it to a charity. I couldn't leave it to a cat somewhere. It would just be gone. As a matter of fact, if I made it all the way until my 65th birthday in 1 month and I wound up collecting a single check after passing away or before passing away, like my mother did, all gone.
Well, isn't that the nature of an insurance premium, though, Lou?
No, because if it was an actual insurance product like an annuity or even a life insurance policy, then there would have been a full payout going to a beneficiary.
No, but a person could buy whatever annuities typically pay you, for a period of time or for the rest of your life. And usually if you die too quick, they'll pay you a minimum amount.
Yes.
But conceivably, you could write up an insurance policy that would be an insurance policy against you living to the age of 65. And you would pay the money every month, and understanding that if you died before you were 65, you'd get nothing. But if you lived to be 65, they would pay you $500 a month for the rest of your life.
Well, conceivably you could, but
yeah, of course.
Can you name an example of it happening?
Well, that doesn't matter. If it's perfectly reasonable, and it is reasonable, people might very well say, look, I'd be willing to pay some money to know that if I live to be old enough that I can't work anymore, I would get paid. And if I die sooner than that, What do I care? You can't take it with you.
Well, strangely enough, there's no insurance company offering that lousy, filthy, disgusting, useless product that you're offering.
The government offers it, though. They've got the market cornered.
Right, and they're also not an insurance company. There's a reason why private insurance companies don't offer that product. There's not a market for it. It's a piece of garbage. And quite frankly, if a private insurance company offered that as a retirement savings plan that said, if you could collect when you're 65, but if you die before that, then the money just disappears and goes into a black hole, nobody would buy it.
Well, that's probably the reason why you can't buy it, right?
Right.
I'm just saying that feature alone, though, does not make it illegitimate.
Well, you know what? Conceivably, I'm going to be marrying Selma Hayek this weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
Theoretically, it could happen. The odds.
I believe in it. Has she had your breakfast really before? You're a great cook.
No, she doesn't even know I exist. So.
All right. Well, you know, it isn't a good deal, and I think they have pretty well proven that you could almost anyone, you know, unless they lost it all at the track, could take the money and make more money save more money for themselves if they just invested it themselves.
Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, municipal employees here in Michigan, they don't contribute to Social Security. They contribute to private annuities, and that's where their pension comes from, and they get at least twice as much as they would get if they were enrolled in Social Security. So government employees actually have a escape plan. They have an exemption from having to participate in the government program.
Now, that's only state or local employees, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
not federal. I think when they originally started Social Security, federal employees were exempt, including the congressman that originally passed it. But it caused so much stink that sometime, I don't know, back in the 80s or something, I can't remember exactly, that they changed it and put everybody under it simply because people were moaning and griping about it. But still, that left local and state people, which is good. I mean, I'm jealous, you know, that I didn't have the same freedom, but I'm glad for them. I'm glad for anything that I like tax deductions. You know, if I can get one, great, and if you can get one, well, good for you. Anything that reduces my taxes is just fine. Yeah, but then you need to have some courage to do that too, because they'll throw you in jail.
As a matter of fact, if you don't pay your Social Security tax, they'll throw you in jail too. But that's because they care about you. It's because they love you.
Well, yeah, that's the difference between this and the Ponzi scheme. This is involuntary. But like I said, that's in a way that's a plus. Actuarially, it's a plus because it keeps this Ponzi scheme going longer. I wonder if there isn't it supposed to go when they say go broke. I'm not sure what they mean go broke, but it's like at the point when they have to. There's not enough money coming in to keep paying current benefits, if that's the right word. Like whatever the surplus is that is sitting in the trust fund. You know how they invest the surpluses that they did get. The only thing they're allowed to do is buy U.S. government bonds.
Yeah, I don't know that there's an actual surplus. I think there's a bunch of IOUs in there, and they're counting that as assets.
Well, that's what government bonds are. They're IOUs.
So there is no surplus. You're using a very imaginative, euphemistic word.
Absolutely,
you're no longer a lawyer. You don't have to stretch the truth like that.
No, I try to be fair about it, but even counting all that in there, supposed to the outflow, there won't be any of this so-called surplus after what, 2030 or something like that.
I don't know when the date is. It depends on who you talk to of when it's going to be bone dry.
I don't know why. I mean, they can't touch it. And I don't know why. I mean, they're so afraid of it. But unless they do something, it's going to crash sooner rather than later. And maybe that's a good thing. I'm kind of in favor of any government programs crashing. But it's also kind of a shame that it has to be done in that way, in the sense of you know, a hard landing, so to speak, for, you know, most people, I guess, when if you did something that would move to a voluntary system, it wouldn't have to be that way. And I'm not sure what they could do. You know, they're talking about the things that they talk about doing to make the thing stay afloat. I think the thing they talk about most is removing the cap. What is it, like $127,000? Above that, you don't have to pay into Social Security. It's only on income that's below $127,000, which takes in almost most people. And if they raise that, they would take out, what is it, 12.5 or 15% if you include Medicare in there or something. You know, 15% of your $1 million would be a heck of a lot more than 15% of $127,000, I guess. But it seems to me that they've got to keep raising the retirement age. And you know, there's something fair about the retirement age fix, and that is people are living longer. And so if you're going to live to be 90 years old, well, maybe you can wait a while longer to start collecting, since you're going to get so much at the end. I don't know. Like I said, that's all Band-Aid stuff, I suppose.
Yeah, if you go back to the original days of Social Security, when it was put together, I believe the retirement age was 62, and women were statistically had a lifespan of 62. I think women or men had a lifespan of 60 or 58, 59, something like that. So statistically, people were supposed to die before they collected it.
More than half would die.
Yeah.
Before they could touch it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that made it a lot more actuarially sound, right?
Well,
and now
no.
People's lifespans now, they start collecting at whatever in their 60s, and they're expected to live for another 10 years or more.
Well, it didn't make it more actuarially sound. It made it more of a crapshoot. It made it more like playing roulette.
Yeah, well, so I guess it's always been that.
Yeah, yeah, and it was just gambling, and the odds were stacked against you. We'll be back. Meow.
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 You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other Chrome robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. And get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android Worms.
From the market. I'm Randy England. I'm here with Lou and Knight. And we're moving on from the Social Security. You don't want to end up the hour with something that's as dismal as that. And there's an article in, I think it's Engadget.com, called Propaganda Bots Dominate Social Networks in Some Countries, which may not shock anyone, but Oxford University researchers have published a study showing that bots and other sort of things like that, using bots is practically par for the course in some countries. Does this surprise you, Luke? Lou?
I'm not going to listen if you can't get my name right.
Did I stutter?
just talk to Knight. Talk to Knight.
Yeah, right. What are you working? You working on a meme that you're going to spring on us? Perhaps it'll go with the program tonight. Well, no, they're saying that. Of course, you know who the greatest offender is on using bots to spread propaganda. Of course, it's Russia. And, you know, I was reading this and I thought this is not shocking. To me, it would be shocking if someone had an article that was true that said propaganda bots are never used by governments. And that would draw my attention. I would look at that and go, wow. I mean, of course they're using them. You have institutions that lie, they cheat, they steal. I mean, they rob you every single day. They murder people. And then we're going to have this horrifying accusation that they're using social media to influence people's opinions. I am just not shocked. And what I almost makes me think is that does anybody feel about this, the whole thing with Russia interfering with our elections? Is there anybody that's still excited about that? Because I keep hearing it. Yeah, I just keep hearing that. I'm going,
elections.
Yeah, go away. This is so stupid. Did you think that the Russians weren't sitting around, you know, when an election is coming and going, who would it be better for us to have running the United States and then get behind them?
I actually didn't care.
Well, I know you don't care, but I'm saying I can't imagine them not doing this. These are governments, and I don't know why they shouldn't be influencing, not elections in particular, but influencing things that they perceive are going to be affecting them. I mean, not that they should be, but I can't imagine them not. And I'm almost thinking maybe this is like the Russian thing in our elections, like, maybe we're supposed to be shocked that the Russians. We're not getting anywhere with you.
Put a Satoshi in the swear jar.
In the swear jar. Yes. The elections, though, I won't even go there. I won't even give you this, Lou. I just think that it's a non-story, and I'm not sure what the purpose of it. It must be to make us incensed at the fact that the Russians, who apparently are the worst at this, because in Russia, it says, for instance, 45% of Twitter activity stems from highly automated accounts. You know, I am just, you know, flummoxed by that.
I'm going to say this for the Russians. If they're able to win the election for Donald Trump by winning him the Electoral College and then covering their tracks by getting Hillary 2+ million of the popular vote, more than Trump had, you do not want to mess with these guys. This is a special case of algebraic know-how mixed in with sorcery and witchcraft and all sorts of stuff.
Ah, but we don't care, though.
It's just the math genius of it.
Of course, libertarians are not going to, shouldn't care, unless they're Libertarian Party libertarians, because who cares about the election anyway?
Which means Republicans.
Okay, very much so. Well, I think we're about at the end of the first hour, aren't we?
We are. Music's playing.
Hearing music, yes. We'll be back with the Freedom Fiends.
The Freedom Fiends. But in this modern busy world, I just don't have time to listen all the way through every episode.
There is a solution. Go to the World Wide Web and log on to digest.freedomfiends.com and subscribe to the Freedom Fiends Digest. Digest.freedomfiends.com has 20-minute best-ofs of each episode.
20-minute best-ofs? Digest.freedomfiends.com sounds great. How much does it cost?
That's the best part. It's free. And if you listen at 1.5 speed, they're only 13 minutes long. Plus, the episodes are only about 15 megs, which is great, because I have a limited data plan.
Wow. I'm at digest.freedomfiends.com right now. It's so simple to use. And anyone who doesn't have 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends is a big ol' statist.
I agree with you about people who can't find 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends Digest. That's digest.freedomfiends.com.
We're back. A couple seconds.
We're back.
Trigger warning, this is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low-orbit ion cannon. High atop Financial Beast Plaza, on the artificial satellite LIDPAIR 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Please insert the purple wire in your cortex now. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Okay, keep talking. Keep talking.
So, we were going to get into the Castile case, and yeah.
Okay. So the whole thing behind this, we're probably a little bit late on covering this. I had found these articles a while back. Well, I found the one about the NRA breaking its silence. But here's something interesting. This is from July 11th of 2017 from Fox News US. Philandro Castile shooting, acquitted officer takes buyout and leaves the force. So last year, this officer, and his name is Geronimo Yanez, and he... He was acquitted what was the charge? I think manslaughter or something like that. So anyway, he had killed this Philandro Castile, who was a legal licensed concealed pistol license carrier. And it's really interesting. The details of it, I'm going from memory here, and I apologize for not having everything verbatim, but... Castile was going for his driver's license, and I believe he may have been instructed to, but he was going for his driver's license, and the cop panicked, freaked out, and shot him. Now, one thing that I want to put out there, I think it's absolutely ridiculous that, because I mean, the cries are, well, if Castile would have complied, if he would have done what the officer said, if you know, all these different things, you know, He needs to do this. He needs to do that. If a trained officer, if a cop, somebody who has firearms training, somebody who is trained to be in these particular situations, because you don't, and he wasn't on his first day out there. So I know that when you're in the academy and when you start the position, you have your training officer, you learn about how to deal with these situations to where you are dealing with the public, a potentially armed person in the public. And for a trained officer to be able to get away with just shooting people like he's some kind of freaking gang-banging lunatic with no regard for human life simply because he feared for his safety is absolutely ridiculous, when the same standard that is applied to a untrained civilian is that you do exactly what you're told, you stay calm, you don't panic, you don't fear for your safety, even though you have a cop pointing a gun at you and possibly other cops shouting contradictory instructions at you from all different directions. No, you're supposed to stay calm, but no, this cop, this trained cop, this person who does this for a living day in and day out is supposed to be able to fear for his safety and just shoot the place up like it's the OK Corral. Did I miss anything there?
No, amen. The thing that, you know, you were saying was the same thing applies to a civilian. You know, if a cop pulled me over, yeah, I would fear for my life, but I'm definitely not going to try to, you know, resist and bounce back with anything. But the cop can do that. And most of the time, most of the articles that I see, most of the time the cop is always acquitted.
Yes. Yeah. Like, there's an old joke that if you try halfway decent, you know, if you put forth half an effort, you can a prosecutor can get an indictment on a ham sandwich, and you probably indicted a couple of ham sandwiches when you're a prosecutor, right, Randy? Oh wow, Randy's not here. So he must be eating a ham sandwich right now. So anyway, it's difficult not to get an indictment. I took an intro to criminal justice course back in I think it was my first year of college, and they were talking about when it comes to the grand jury, it's pretty much a rubber stamp. The prosecutor has to go in there and absolutely not have any idea what they're talking about, or sandbag the living daylights out of the case in order to not get an indictment. And in cases of when it comes to cops, you have all these people that they're just absolute bootlickers that are of the mindset of, well, not our police. You know, our police, they fear for their safety, but, you know, once again, the untrained civilian is expected to comply and remain completely calm, cool, and collected, even when they have a screaming lunatic pointing a gun at them. So anyway, this story here. The Minnesota police officer who was acquitted in last year's fatal shooting of black motorist Philando Castile will receive $48,500 as he leaves the suburban department that employed him at the time of the killing, according to a separation agreement announced Monday. Geronimo Yanez will be paid the money in a lump sum minus applicable deductions and withholdings for state and federal taxes. Under the 5-page agreement released through a public records request, the Minneapolis suburb of St. Anthony will also pay Yanez for up to 600 hours of accrued and unused personal leave pay. The agreement, which has Monday's date, doesn't say how much time he has accrued. His annual salary at the time of July 6, 2016 shooting was more than $72,600, not including overtime pay, according to documents released by the city. Yanez shot Castillo, a 32-year-old elementary school cafeteria worker, several times during a traffic stop after Castillo told the officer he was armed. Castile had a permit for his gun. The shooting gained widespread attention after Castile's girlfriend, who was in the car along with her then 4-year-old daughter, live-streamed its gruesome aftermath on Facebook. Yanez, 29, and Latino, was acquitted of manslaughter and other charges in June. On the day of the verdict, the city announced the public will be best served if Yanez were no longer an officer. The city had said Monday that the agreement ends all employment rights for Yanez. Since Officer Yanez was not convicted of a crime as a public employee, he would have appeal and grievance rights if terminated, it said in a statement. A reasonable voluntary separation agreement brings to close one part of this horrible tragedy. The city concluded this was the most thoughtful way to move forward and help the community-wide healing process proceed. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that giving this guy a big chunk of changes, I don't see that healing the community. I really don't.
Yeah, he shoots one person and he gets paid for it. He gets paid more than half of his salary. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, and it's absolutely ridiculous that. I can't think of how many jobs out there you can actually commit murder and actually do better off, you know. But you know what? It kind of reminds me. I was driving home from a fishing trip a few years back, and I hit a deer, and that wound up being financially better for me too because I totaled out the car. I got more than what the payoff on it was. I was able to get a new car. The car wasn't destroyed. It was just the airbags were deployed, so the insurance company was able to part it out and scrap it. So I guess everybody was better off at the end of this thing except for the deer. But anyway.
Yeah. Oh, and I watched the video of that and seeing the terror on, you know, the mother and the daughter was just so saddening. And basically, cops can bring terror onto people and their families, and they can get no jail time and get paid so much money, and all they have to do is leave the force. And I mean, a lot of times they're not even forced to leave the police force.
Yeah, from the sounds of it, he left. don't know. I'm guessing that he left just to take a little bit of stink, and you know, they probably offered him the nice little go away money because, you know, there's no getting past it. So I really don't know. I don't know if he was sent packing or what. I would imagine that he was probably sent packing if they're going to give him a buyout.
Yeah, they're not slapping him on the wrist. They're slapping a gold watch on his wrist.
Pretty much. And interestingly enough, there's another story out recently, and this is also in Minnesota, and this is about the, I believe she's Australian, yeah. An Australian woman was killed by police there. The story here, I don't know if it's been spoken about on the show yet, but anyway, U.S. police were startled by a loud sound seconds before an officer shot and killed an Australian woman outside her home. Justine Damond, 40, had called 911 to report an assault in an alley behind her house in Minneapolis, Minnesota, when she was shot by Officer Mohammed Noor as she approached the driver's side window of his police car. Oh, I guess we found the one cop that conservatives aren't going to rally behind. The account of the killing comes from Officer Matthew Harity, who was driving the car. Mr. Noor has so far refused to be interviewed. They are both on paid administrative leave. Yesterday, audio emerged of the moments before the fatal shooting in which the officers can be heard calling for backup and attempting to perform CPR on Ms. Damond. According to the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, Ms. Damond approached the driver's side window of the police car immediately after Mr. Harity said he had been startled by the sound. Mr. Noor, in the passenger seat, then shot her through the open driver's side window. No weapon was found at the scene. Wait a minute. He's in the passenger seat. He shoots her through the driver's side window. So that means that he put a round right next to his partner's face?
Wow.
Yeah, and seriously, how and there's no getting around that. I mean, he's lucky he didn't shoot his partner. God. What kind of absolute ridiculous nonsense is this? All right, so Mr. Harity told investigators that he and his partner had responded to a 911 call from Ms. Damond about a possible assault near her home around 11:30 p.m. on Saturday. Mr. Harity was driving the car as the officers went through an alley to look for a suspect. The squad lights were off when the noise startled him, Mr. Harity said. The officers did not turn on their body cameras until after the shooting. No body cameras. And the police car's camera was also not activated. Seriously? This is ridiculous. I have no idea how bootlickers can defend this stuff.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth Justice American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth Justice American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth Justice American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth Justice American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
Back. This is Freedom Fiends. This is Lou, joined by Knight, and Randy is on internet break. He lost his internet, so he's trying to get back in here. Not sure when it's going to happen. Hopefully it'll happen soon, but anyway. So, yeah, we're talking about the police officer that murdered Philandro Castile, taking the buyout. And we're also talking about another story, also in Minnesota, of the Australian woman who called the police to report criminal activity going on, who was outside there in pajamas and was shot by one of the cops. And he shot across the car. He shot right past his partner's face. and kill this unarmed woman. Oh, and when I do the conservative thing, he has a record because he has multiple complaints against him in the past, so therefore he must be guilty. Because that's what the conservatives always do when somebody gets shot. You know, somebody could be doing something completely harmless and they got arrested 10 years ago, so therefore they deserve to get shot for this particular situation because the conservatives are bootlickers. Here's a question for you, pop quiz night. If a current cop kills an active duty military member, who do the conservatives blindly support?
I think their brains are going to explode.
Actually, it's going to be the cop. Because for as much as the conservatives claim to love the military, their first love is the cop. And it's funny because my dad was talking about when he was in the army back in the old days, back in the late 50s, early 60s, and the cops used to harass the soldiers coming out of Fort Benning, and they do this in a lot of different places. They'll revenue generate on the soldiers, and most of the soldiers you can't really do anything about it because if you get taken in, chances are you're going to wind up getting an Article 15, which means you're going to lose your rank, you're going to get fined and all this other stuff. And that's on top of whatever the local court does. So then you just, any type of law enforcement activity when you're in the military it's not good. It's going to be even worse than if you're just a regular civilian. And these predator cops, they take advantage of that. They know that the soldiers aren't going to make a beef on them. But the thing is, we were talking about this, and I said, wow, man, these cops are harassing our soldiers. You know, I was speaking their language. I'm like, wow, somebody should have gone and burned down that police station for messing with our soldiers. I mean, if it wasn't for our soldiers, those cops would be speaking German and harassing people in German. You know, they'd be conducting those checkpoints in German. You know, asking for Ihre Papieren bitte.
What does that mean?
It means papers, please. But I mean, here's the thing. I mean, there's been numerous cases of military people getting harassed by cops, and the conservatives, they always went with the cops. Even the guy, C.J. Grisham, down in Texas, down your tax farm, he got busted for open carrying a rifle out on a hike with his kid, and conservatives were standing behind the cops. So, but anyway, something I want to get into is the NRA breaks its silence on the Philando Castile shooting. And this article comes to us from Reason Magazine. It says, yesterday, the National Rifle Association broke its recent silence on the shooting of Philando Castile, a Minnesota carry permit holder who was killed during a traffic stop last summer. And really, the comments here come from Dana Loesch, who is a conservative TV and radio host. She said that she was speaking for the NRA. This seems to be the organization's first official statement, blah, blah, blah. The reports from Minnesota are troubling. It must be thoroughly investigated. It promised the NRA will have more to say once all the facts are known. Just all this nonsense. Here's the thing about the NRA. If you look at the NRA support for cops, because I mean that's what they do. I mean they back the thin blue line, and you could get the NRA to endorse full gun confiscation, going around door to door, snatching and dragging people out of houses. All you'd have to do is call it the Protect Our Law Enforcement Act, and they would get on with it. They would sign on to it, and as those cops were going around kicking in people's doors, the NRA president would be thanking them for their service. Because quite frankly, with their support for law enforcement and the crime bills that they've supported in the past, the NRA, I see them as being second only to the Democrat Party and as far as gun control groups go. Gun owners of America are much better. JPFO, Jews for the Preservation of Firearm Ownership, much more solid than the NRA. The NRA, their constant support for gun grabbers is ridiculous. It's just absolutely horrible. And they have a new campaign called Back the Blue. Look, they're not getting backed enough already. We'll be back.
Meow.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
And their existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny.
DJ, how do you like the Fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers. And there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
We are back with the Freedom Fiends. This is Lou, and I'm talking to Knight, and Randy is on internet sabbatical. I want to touch a little bit more on this article that we were talking about about the NRA breaking its silence on Philandro Castile. The NRA's commitment to work with law enforcement so that they understand what citizens are experiencing when they go through stops like this is surely welcome. But Loesch's reference to NRA Carry Guard, a training and insurance program for permit holders, could be read as implying that Castile might still be alive had he known what to do during stops like this. This is a common refrain from Yanez's defenders, who say Castile, after disclosing that he had a concealed weapon, should have immediately placed his hands on the dashboard or steering wheel and awaited further instructions from Yanez. Interestingly enough, the advice for surviving a police encounter is the same advice for surviving a hostage situation or an armed robbery. You know, don't make any sudden movements. Be polite. Don't give them any grief. Don't give them a reason to kill you. And you might survive. Oh, and give up the money, too, because that's what it's about. Now, here's the thing. If the NRA wants law enforcement to understand what citizens are experiencing when they see a cop coming up to the car, when I see the red and blue lights, I'm horrified. Now, whether it's my car or not, I'm nauseated when I see these road pirates out there extorting people, when I see them searching people's vehicles, when I see them harassing people. What's going through my mind is absolute loathing and contempt and hatred because of what these people do for a living. I regard cops in the same way that an evangelical Christian regards an abortion provider. I'm opposed to the cops because I'm pro-life, just like the evangelical Christian is opposed to the abortion provider. So anyway, do you got anything else that you want to throw in on this subject here?
Not really. I think you touched on all bases there.
Okay. All right, we're going to switch over to something else. And this story comes from, it comes from a meme. And I'm going to read this meme to you. Give me a second to get it to come up here on the screen here. And this comes from like a liberal atheist Facebook page. And this is, I believe it's from the movie The Contender. I haven't seen the movie, but my understanding is this is a quote or pretty close to what Karen Allen's character says in the movie. And she is in this movie, the vice president dies and there needs to be another vice president. And she's one of the candidates for it. And she's going through a confirmation hearing. And I'm gonna preface this because it's on an atheist page. The definition of a statheist is one who rejects the existence of a benevolent, omnipotent, omniscient being that lives in the sky, while simultaneously worshiping the existence of a benevolent, omnipotent, omniscient entity that lives in an ugly building in a nation's capital or city or state capital. So the statheist is not actually an atheist because the state is their god. That is their religion. Hey, Randy, welcome back. Okay, maybe he's not back. So anyway, what the meme says it's Karen Allen testifying, I guess, before the House or maybe the Senate because she has to go through the confirmation. So anyway, she says, "I stand for the separation of church and state. And the reason that I stand for that is the same reason that I believe our forefathers did. It is not there to protect religion from the grasp of government, but to protect our government from the grasp of religious fanaticism," meaning statism. But anyway,
Now I may be an atheist, but that does not mean I do not go to church. I do go to church. The church I go to is the one that emancipated the slaves, that gave women the right to vote, that gave us every freedom that we hold dear. My church is this very chapel of democracy that we sit in together, and I do not need God to tell me what are my moral absolutes. I need my heart, my brain, and this church.
Ugh.
Oh, my God. So we learned two things here. The lefties admit that government is their God and that statism is a religion. And then we find something else that we probably already know,
but
people just couldn't put their fingers on it. Liberals make crappy memes. Horrible memes. The worst memes. So yeah. What I want to do is tell me what jumps out at you on this right off the bat, Knight, because I heard you snickering and giggling over there.
Because it seems like there's this attempt to be inspirational to everyone, but it's just not going there, because saying, like, I may be an atheist, but that does not mean I do not go to church. That's such a contradictory thing to say. Like,
yeah, the church I go to is this chapel of democracy. Well, something that I want to point out here, where she says, the church I go to is the one that emancipated the slaves, that gave women the right to vote, that gave us every freedom that we hold dear. Well, let's see now. How does slavery get codified into law? Because in order to emancipate the slaves, they had to be enslaved in the first place. In order for women to be given the right to vote, they had to be first denied the right to vote. So what she does not understand, I guess the best way to put it is she, with the emancipation of slaves and women voting, she's describing the New Testament of government, whereas the Old Testament was the vengeful, hardened government that would enslave people and deny them the right to vote. So, yeah, it actually is a difference between the Old and New Testament. You know, the vengeful God that punished all sorts of things, that flooded the earth with rains for 40 days and 40 nights on there, and nobody had the brains to swat those two mosquitoes.
Man, let's see. Yeah. The thing about that is the emancipation of slaves, giving women the right to vote. I think in there it's also trying to say that these things were, like, kind of automatically, like, respected. Like, the day after slaves were quote-unquote free, they're acting like they were respected and they were equal. Maybe lawfully. But even then, in courts, they're still going to bring their opinions in and all of that. So people love to think that laws bring more of an effect than they actually do.
Yeah, and laws bring absolutely no effect. I mean, 'cause if you look at it this way, you're bumping your microphone again. The vast majority of people are going to intentionally violate traffic laws on their way to work in the morning. And like I said, intentionally. They're going to speed. They're not going to care. They're probably going to do lane changes without using a turn signal.
And fiend
not
phone. Care about it. Fiend phone. And
a significant portion of the population is going to use cannabis tomorrow. And they're going to break laws. They're going to violate laws left and right. They're going to violate laws that they don't even know that they're violating, because there's so darn many laws on the books. But the thing is, scribbling these words down on paper is not going to keep that from happening. Just like scribbling words on paper does not create rights. This freedom that we hold dear, you know, that didn't come from government. As a matter of fact, the freedoms that we hold dear are being taken away by government. And they're not being taken away by foreign governments. Because, no, it's not like when I was in the Army at the end of the Cold War.
Whoa,
it's
not am I like, back?
Yeah, you're back.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not like...
It's a miracle. Like,
yeah, I'm... Yeah.
Go ahead, Lou. Like I interrupted you, okay. I know.
Yes, you did.
Go back.
So
pardon me.
So it's not like in the old days when we were under threat of the Soviet Union and East Germany coming to America and enslaving everybody and putting everybody under the police and surveillance state. You know, just like the KGB and the Ministerium für Staatssicherheit had their populations under constant surveillance. But that was back in the days when you had to actually go out and physically tap a phone. You couldn't just have the NSA go and collect all this stuff and store the information in some building somewhere. That was back in the days when you had to go and actually open up the letters, and you couldn't have the NSA storing the emails in a data center and having electronic programs go through to try and read it and find stuff to use against people. No. And this stuff wasn't done to us by the Soviets. This was done to us by the U.S. government, by the NSA. And by the way, who's in charge of the NSA? I believe it's a Navy admiral. At least the last couple of NSA directors have been active duty military. So those are your troops. You know, it's not the Russians or the Iranians or North Koreans. They're stomping out businesses left and right. No. The greatest threat to American freedom is coming from the American government, the state governments, the city governments, as being inflicted by the cops that these conservatives love so much.
Yeah, the problem is right here, not anywhere else. You need to look for the problem right here.
Yes.
Hey,
yes.
Lou, by the way, while I was not connected on the internet, I had a little time watching TV, and they're reporting now that the real Geronimo is turning over in his grave because the cop that got off on shooting Mr. Castile, his name is Geronimo, too.
Actually, it's Geronimo.
Well, I don't speak Spanish. Me neither. So I'm back to
I'm American. I only speak one language.
Yeah, and, you know, I would say, you know, jalapeno, too. But anyway, I thought that was a... apologies to the real Geronimo. And actually, the real Geronimo, I don't know how... Maybe that was should be spelled differently or pronounced differently, too. Like
the real Geronimo is spelled with a G.
I know, but maybe he says it with a J, or an H or something. Anyway,
so do you have anything to throw in on the meme and the and from the movie The Contender and the speech the statheism?
Have we covered that? I missed a couple
That's what
things.
We were talking
I apologize
about.
For that. Well, The Contender was this the speech about? How we're so happy to be here in the Chapel of Democracy.
Yes.
And the U.S. Congress referring to that. Well, you said
we'll
that there
back.
Was some
meow,
sweet
meow,
peace.
Meow, meow, okay. Meow, 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 meow.
We'll be back.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
The central scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
I think I'm one of those people who thinks every president is worse than the one before.
Freedom back. Fiends. Yeah, we are back. It's the end of the show. Story that I'm going to cover here, I don't think you guys have seen it yet. I stumbled across it just a little while ago. It's from 9 hours ago. And this is going to be really shocking to you. And you guys will be able to comment as we're going along. Police body cam footage shows officer planting drugs.
Ooh, not surprising.
That's so
police
shocking.
Body cam footage shows officer planting drugs. Something is going to happen because of this revelation, a local prosecutor says. Yeah, they're going to get body cams that they can control better. So the story goes on. Video from Baltimore Police Department body cameras shows an officer tampering with evidence in a case that sent a man to jail for more than 5 months, reports have claimed. The Baltimore Sun's Justin Fenton recently shared a 90-second video showing what appears to be three Baltimore police officers standing on a street corner. The camera follows one officer as he walks into an alleyway and places what appears to be a bag of drugs in a trash heap. He then goes back to the street, stands for several seconds, and returns to the alleyway. He removes a bag from the same trash heap and brandishes it in front of the camera. Look what I found! Baltimore Police Department body cameras record and preserve footage from the last 30 seconds before they are activated, according to the department's body-worn camera policy. Fox Baltimore reports that a man was arrested in January on drug charges connected to this video. Mr. Fenton claims that the man was held for months on a $50,000 bail that he could not afford. According to Fox Baltimore, the man's trial was scheduled for last week. It was stalled, however, when a public defender found the video and sent it to the prosecutor in the case. In an email obtained by Fox Baltimore, the prosecutor writes, "I've passed the video up and we are all appalled. Something is going to happen because of this revelation." The charges were eventually dropped, but the officer in question was reportedly called in to testify on another case just 1 week later. Because gotta make that case, yo. The prosecutors had knowledge, public defender Debbie Katz Levi told Fox Baltimore. They watched it and were appalled by what was on the video, and then for whatever reason made the choice to continue to call him as a witness. The Baltimore Police Department...
Go ahead. Finish it up. I was going to say, I always say there's things worse than an honest cop, and it's called a crooked cop. And as bad as the honest cops can be, crooked cops are worse.
Well, you know what? If you have one crooked cop and nine silent cops, you actually have 10 crooked cops. Yep. The prosecutors had knowledge, or the Baltimore Police Department said in a statement that they take the allegations very seriously and have launched an internal investigation. They're investigating themselves. You know what? It'd be neat if the person arrested could have investigated himself. I'm sure he would have found in his favor too.
Well, that's
we are fortunate to have body worn cameras, which provide a perspective of the events as reported. The department said. Baltimore Police Department began rolling out body cameras to the majority of its officers in July of 2016. Officers are instructed to turn on their body cameras during enforcement or investigative activities, emergency vehicle operation, custodial transports, or other activities of a potentially confrontational nature. 2016 Justice Department investigation of the Baltimore Police revealed at least one case of an officer planting drugs on a suspect. A fellow officer said he did not report the incident immediately for fear of retaliation. Now, why would... No, that can't be. I mean, that's gangbangers that retaliate against people that testify against them.
And those guys aren't a gang?
No. Those are our police. They're the ones that serve and protect us. They're the ones that keep us safe.
Well, the one who didn't report it needs to be fired immediately, too. That's just ridiculous. And there should be a way for him to be prosecuted. You send somebody to jail, out of a lie, you ought to be responsible for it.
Randy, if it wasn't for our police, warlords would be going around planting evidence on us and locking us into jail. Do you want the highwayman doing that?
Well, sure. The highwayman wouldn't claim he was doing it for my own good.
Yeah, I'll leave you alone afterwards. So anyway, thanks for coming on tonight, guys. It's always a pleasure. And thanks to everybody for listening. For more Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com. And good night, Adam. I hope you enjoyed the show.
Good night, Lou. Good night, Knight.
Good night, sir.
See you next time. Thank you.